cautioned me that there were a good many coming at night that couldn't count, and a good many they missed with communication. But hell, if they count 35,000, Clark, there's no question about whether that 6L is escalating or not. That ought to hit the all-time high. And they say this. This figure is well above the average between January and March. We estimate 35,000 enemy troops. This total exceeds the previous record by 7,000. We estimate 80,000 troops. Now, I had a study made for my press conference, and they estimated 62,000. This came in 2 days later, and it says 80,000. And I just wish that we had Max Taylor and everybody really look at that real good, and let's have a meeting on it, bring it up Tuesday and see what we're going to say, and let's get a party line, get a paragraph. But
I'll tell Walton to go.
And I think that I do that. I think that everybody would be quoting this one, that if it's published, it is. It's mimeographed, the one I've got. Have you read it?
I'm sure it's all right.
Yeah. I get
another real quick one. I sent over a meeting yesterday, which I recommend that you consider the advisability of asking Congress to extend.
I told him last night you ought to get on that. You all ought to do that. We can't. I'll support your people on anything, but on every department, we ought to do it. And you have to get your armed services leadership and take that. I'm going to see Russell today, and I'll suggest to him that he shove it through. I think there are two reasons for that. One, if the White House does it, it becomes political, and they don't mind hitting the president. They'd like to deny him, and then they'd like to blackmail him, too. They'd like to get their post office or their department to rustle along things and stuff like that before he does it. The military, the best, just go and say, we've got to have this, and touch it with Russell and Mahon and everybody else, and just tell them it's an emergency, and you just got to move it, and so forth. And then if I need to supplement it anyway, we'll do it.
I think I'll go to Russell and Rivers, and then I think maybe I'll touch up Fulbright and Doc Morgan.
That's right.
No, I don't have I'm going up to see Fulbright anyway on Monday if he's available, because I think the time's coming up when I ought to meet that obligation I have to testify before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on the Military Assistance Program. And I've been waiting for the climate to be a little better so he wouldn't try to make another three-ring circus out of it.
Well, I would sure to. I would bear two things in mind with him. He is far the enemy, number one, and I think he is off in his head. Russell told me that 2 years ago, that he thought he not only had a change of life like a woman does, but that it had stayed with him, it stuck. And I saw him last night, and he looks crazy as hell. Got a sweet wife. We were over here at a little Smithsonian function. He's on the board, and I pointed him on the board. A lot of things like that that he never paid any attention to. But I just reviewed this morning for one of my staff members his record, and just so you may know it. He got briefed thoroughly by you, which I would assume was thorough, before the speech. He waited 48 hours and called me afterwards. No, 24 hours. It was about 30 hours. He called me at 4:30 after. Well, it's 48 hours after he briefed him Saturday. He told me his most brilliant move had been made, wonderful, absolutely out of this world, ingenious, and all the words you can think of, all of which I have, I just took down. That was Sunday night. Monday got up on the floor of the Senate and said it was terrible, that it was phony, and that Ho Chi Minh ought to ignore it. While he was speaking, Ho Chi Minh accepted it. So then the Fulbright plan number one went down the drain. Couldn't Ho Chi, by God, wouldn't be as much on the deal as Fulbright. So then Ho Chi suggested Cambodia, and he and Mansfield both got their goddamn pimps to prepare their speeches, and they came out and said it'd be a delightful, wonderful place. Just couldn't have it. You're just out of roses. And before they could really sell it to the people of this country, they could have if the New York Times had a special edition, but they can't come out twice a day. By God, he shifted to Warsaw and double-crossed them there. That's strike number two. So then they worked on Warsaw, and both of them said they ought to quit haggling. That is the word that North Vietnamese use in their radio broadcast. And it became very popular in all their speeches because same type writes them. And Hoover's the only man that does anything about it in government. Nobody else even thinks it. They think it's hard to even know it. It's bad, evil. So Tillman prepares the haggling stuff for Fulbright, for Mansfield, and he's got the one-eyed fellow from Brooklyn Mansfield has, Frank Vallejo. Vallejo. And so they give us hell for not going to Warsaw. And before they can really get that one sold, although they made awfully good headway, they moved to Paris. In the meantime, he gets a hold of Jack Valenti and says he ought to go and Cooper to as trustees of United States Purity. And they got to be, Vance and Averill got to be protected, and Averill ought to be removed. But he's too hawkish. So they ought to go and surrender for us. And I can just see him walking out of these meetings with this press every day. It would just be a lovely thing to have Fulbright. But he said, I'm controversial, and I'm sure the president wouldn't let me go, and Rusk wouldn't let me go, said Georgia Clay would keep me down.
Yeah.
And so, but you ought to have Mansfield and Cooper go. So then yesterday when they took Paris, Wiley said, well, I feel very good about it now. After he'd had three strikes up and down, and all of them had faded out on him.
Right.
I do think if we had some slight indication that maybe we ought to always cave with everything the State Department says, because they accepted Warsaw, by God, before Warsaw could get here with their proposal, and tried to hang in. And I don't think any president ought to be bound in with that kind of crap, do you? It's just awful what happened on that thing. And before they could get the offer to me, and before TASS could get to me, we had accepted on our UP ticker. And then TASS came along 20 minutes, and then along later in the day, well, we got the message. But then I got the word about Paris, and I called in, and they started putting out Paris, all of them. I said, we're going to do it. There's three places I don't want to go. And at least we ought to tell de Gaulle that we thank him for his nice comment, because I think this is a deal. Dean said, well, he just didn't believe we ought to write de Gaulle at all. Now, we got a suggestion today, we ought to write him. I guess we ought to, too. If I was going to be at his mercy, I'd hate like old some bitch to think that I had tried to be decent for 3 years with him. And different from Kennedy, but I don't know. That's something we ought to think about. But I thought I had no other choice in the world, not because I think it's wise, not because I think anything will come out of it, not because anything except screwing me. And good. And this power ought to do that. But we just got no choice, and I just got a few months to hang on, and I'm going to hang on just as long as I know how. Like a damn bulldog, it's got a hold of a red towel. I'm just going to put my front tooth in it and hold it. I'm not going to cave in to these dubs, and I don't want to escalate. I don't want to do anything except I just don't want to let them do it. Then Fulbright comes along last night and says that we've got to put Mansfield on the delegation. They asked me for a comment, and I said, tell him, by God, if he wants to be president, get elected. Now, that's what he's trying to do, and that's what you got to keep in mind. He wants to run this government from that damned old post, as all of the rest of them have, the lodges and the goddamn Boras and the Wilson's willful men and the whole crap. And none of them have ever been right on anything. There's something about being on the committee that makes you basically wrong, with the exception of Connell and Vandenberg, who took their stuff from Truman. That's the only period in our history that I've been able to discover since the goddamn committee first met. I don't care what period of crisis you're in where they've ever been right was the Truman period. And it was Connally and Vandenberg, mostly.
Yeah, well, Vandenberg is really quite a different fact.
Well, he had made an ass of himself by being a big isolationist, and so he had to cut back and admit he was wrong, and when he did, he couldn't turn back again. You can't flip over twice, you know.
Before we leave.
So I think you've got to see Fulbright, but I think you got to bear that in mind, because I had him in, Clark. Let me show you. I had him in whatever day it was. 2 days ago, 3 days ago. This is Saturday, must have been about Thursday. Jim Jones, what time did John McClellan, Fulbright, and him come in this week? He was on the schedule. Do you remember, Larry, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? It was Thursday, I guess. Thursday they came in. I had Fulbright stay back. I said, now, Fulbright, I want to tell you three or four things. We have had a proposal from an extremely interesting source that has not been aligned with us, that we have accepted, and it's up to Hanoi now. We have had another indication from a government that's supposed to be neutral, but neutral always on the other side. I said India without saying so. And any one of these places we would go to, and then I listed every goddamn place they had an embassy. I said Mali, Tanzania. I listed them all except Paris. Algiers, Bucharest. Now, I said, Eastern Europe's running over here with these commies that are messing around here, talking to every liberal in town all the time. So if you really want to play Secretary of State, Bill, you get out there and tell them you don't understand why they will not go. First to Laos, second to Switzerland, third to Bern, Switzerland, or if they don't want to go to Geneva or to Bonn or any of these places you don't quite understand. But they certainly ought to go to Algiers, and they certainly ought to go to Tanzania, and they certainly ought to go to the... Well, they said he just sure would do it. That's fine. This was at 1:30, a cabinet meeting. No, it's 12:30. That's cabinet Thursday. They were waiting for me. No, it's 1:30. Cabinet, when I got through, 5 minutes after 1 when I walked in, because it kept McClellan 5 minutes. He went up there at 3:30 that afternoon, 4 o'clock. Well, he went up and catched back. I had to call that night. I didn't even know it till ever hell broke loose over here. I said, what in hell happened? Well, he said, everybody is against what we're doing and so on and so forth. And I tried my best, but it couldn't. I said, what in the hell are you doing going up there? Are you planning? Well, he went up to brief him on Pueblo. So then Fulbright, I called Fulbright. I said, I told you this at 1 o'clock. What in the hell are you doing? Well, he said, the State Department demanded a briefing, wanted to brief us. And I said, well, if they're that big fool, Bill, I can't run the government. So I called State. Well, he said, no, I don't mean to tell you. They just said they'd general briefing and said we had a general briefing and we got into this. Well, that's all they got into. But anyway, that's what you have to watch with that man. He's evil. He's,
I think he's gotten unstable.
He's just awful.
Yeah, he's gotten unstable. Emotionally involved. Well, I don't want to go, but I can't.
Oh, you got to. That's right. Sure,
I go sometime. Dean's asked me to go because it's holding up the whole AIDS program. They're not going to act on AIDS until they finish up this item. Two other very quick ones that I must. I have the nomination sent over. Big Colonel Cross.
I want to hold that till he gets back. I was very distressed to find out all the conversation that had gone on about it in the department, and particularly Nitz's attitude. And I won't talk to Colonel Cross. He has been against it. And I'm told by people in the service who are a hell of a lot better informed than Nitz's on these things that this is a justifiable thing that's been practiced by every president. And we have presently right in your own shop one major general who is a major who has nothing like the responsibility or the duties that this man has. But if I've got to defend myself from my own people, I certainly want to be prepared to do it. And I'm not prepared until I get some more advice. I didn't know that the secretary had raised the question, and I didn't know that Nitzel.